Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in the Standard, 4-star review in the Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's got something back here that he wants to show you. It's Richard Herring! Oh yeah, in your face, Rachel Riley! Not so clever now, are you, Rachel? In your face! JB off of JLS. I always suspected I might be cleverer than him, and I'm glad to approve. We might talk about that in a second. So, it could just be anything, that cup. Don't you have to go, oh, that's nice, he's got a big cup. So, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast, episode 199. Bet you wish you'd come next week, don't you? Wish you'd come next week. This audience will laugh at anything. Twice, apparently. So it's though I was hanging around with Rachel Riley, Katie Durham, and JB from JLS this week. Seemed a bit grumpy about something. They seemed annoyed with me for some reason. But they call it a rehearsal bus. I don't know. That's going to catch on. So yeah, so House of Games. I've finally broken. Look at that. It's a trophy, isn't it? That's something ridiculous. I've finally broken my TV quiz game. Blank and won something. There's 5 days. It's over 5 days. House of Games. I don't know if you've seen this show with Richard Osman, and he was really trying to make me lose. Kept on teaming me with JB to try. And then I was very. You see the clever round where I was very clever, where one of you had to give the first part of the answer, the other had to give the second part of the answer, and I knew JB wouldn't get it, so I knew the answer, but I didn't answer, and then the other team got half of it and didn't get it, came back to us, and I changed my mind about the answer. So it's the wrong answer. It's very hard. You do it all. They record like 5 episodes in a day. I mean, that's do 1 a week. Come on, that's. So by the 5th one, I was absolutely hallucinating. I knew Jonathan Pryce, and by the time I came to press my buzzer, we were 2 questions on. So it was a terrible. It was a lovely thing. I think Rachel Riley, she won the first episode, got a bit cocky, and then she didn't really like me by the end. She was at the start. She's going, "Oh, I love that thing you did on International Women's Day. That was great." And then the end, yeah. She got a nice dressing gown. She can't complain. So it's very. Very exciting. And also, this is a very exciting week in lots of ways. We're recording
this episode on International Men's Day, November the 19th. It's here. It exists. None of the people who were that bothered on March 8th seem to be celebrating, but I have a plan for them next year. We're going to next year. There'll be some more stuff going on. My blog, Warming Up, is 16 years old in about 6 or 7 days' time. I've done a blog every single day for 16 years. My blog is now old enough to have sex. But it can only have sex with other blogs that are over 16 years old, which does limit. There is one. There's one other blog that's a daily consecutive blog that has gone for longer than mine. But, you know, I'm not bitter about coming second. Has that guy gone? I'm just going to get that out at the start of every podcast now. You know, it's just going to go on that forever. Anyway, look, I'll move. Crack on. Let's crack on. We've got a fantastic guest I'm very excited about. This is an absolute personal hero of mine. So I will probably really fuck this up and they'll storm off. He is probably best known for appearing for 2 seconds in the Madness video for driving in my car. That's why we're here, isn't it? Imagine that being in Madness. That must be exciting. I'm very excited about that. Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome Terry Hall? Terry Hall. Now, there was, that's my Game of Thrones trophy, I like to call it, my House of Games trophy. Nice. It's a bit in the way, and I'll put it down there for the moment. There was a debate on a previous Richard Chang's Leicester Square Thick podcast about whether you were very tall or very short.
Both.
Yeah, it is. I remembered you as being quite short, and the other person met remembered being very tall. Now, I'm shorter than you, so I don't know why I thought that. And he was taller than you, so I don't know why he thought that.
Good night.
Yep, good. So, at least that mystery is now solved. That is the only reason I brought you here tonight. Do you remember being in the Madness video for driving in my car?
Yeah, it was a cameo appearance. Yes. And they said, will you stand on the side of the road holding a sign, Coventry or something?
It was said Coventry.
So, yeah, we did it. It was great.
They drove past you.
Yeah.
They drove past
slapstick.
You. And then they didn't pick you up. And then you really laughed.
Yeah.
And that is the one piece
because
of footage I found of you laughing.
Yeah.
In all my attempts to find it. But it was good. Do you have any funny stories about that day?
Not
Suggs?
One. No. But it's nice when you work with comedy bands. It's like... do you know what I mean? Like the Baron Knights, Madness, Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah. Mr. Blobby, did you ever work with Mr. Blobby?
I did once.
Yeah. Yeah. He was good. Bob the Builder, he was good. I'm very interested in that 80s period, and I'm going to talk about things that probably your fans won't be that interested in hearing about, because my obsession with you is the 80s and 90s, but I was just watching Fun Boy 3 and Bananarama.
Yeah.
Which I remember the day that was on Top of the Pops.
No, I got a laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was looking back at it now, it's just, it's kind of got this wonderful nostalgia, because all six of you look like everyone at all the parties I went to when I was 15 yeah. years old. Because the fashions are very evocative of that time. So
yes.
It's slightly sexually arousing watching that.
Yeah.
Watching you in that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I remember coming, you know, having... At that time, when that Top of the Pops came out and you were with Bananarama, it was sort of a shock.
Well, I wasn't with Bananarama.
Well, we're going to get on to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was quite a shock to see, you know, having been the specials, and then it was a change of direction.
Well, the Fun Boy 3 wasn't us forming a band. It was us leaving a band.
Yeah.
And once you've left a band, and that's what you do, you tend to form another band.
Yeah.
And we didn't give it too much thought. We just didn't want to be in the specials for a while.
No. But it was Bananarama was kind of an interesting... It was. It's really a good... The tracks you did with them.
Well, they were really... Yeah. I heard one single. It was good. It was good. And they were just, like, pretty easygoing and... They didn't really want to be singers. They just giggled and yeah. stuff. It was nice.
It was fun, and they look. But everyone looks like. But you all look just like the kind of kids that we were at school. I mean, you are still kids, really.
Thank you.
And you still are. But that's what I find astonishing is that you know you're only like four or five years older than I am. And like to me as a teenager, you think they're all the grown-ups, but you started so young. You started in music so young.
Around 17, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like,
and I'm approaching 60. Go on, say it. You didn't look it.
You do not look it. I was kind of trying to work out what you might look like coming in.
Yeah.
And I thought you'd be in a cardigan and...
Yeah.
You're still looking good.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad. I felt more sorry. You look good. How did you get into the bands originally? So you left school at 15?
Around 15. Then I started to do jobs. Like, you go to work.
Yeah.
And
you had quite a mixture of jobs as well.
But I couldn't really be told what to do.
Right.
So it was tricky. It's like the thing I wanted to be was a hairdresser, because I saw Warren Beatty in Shampoo,
right.
Where he, it's a great film, and where he teases middle-aged women's hair. I thought I've got to do that. So I got an apprenticeship, and the first week was sweeping the floor, hair off the floor.
Yeah.
But then they said you can start washing now, but the first person I had to wash was he was sort of middle-aged, he was grey, but he had, like, nicotine-stained grey.
Right.
And I just thought, fuck that, I'm not touching his head.
Yeah.
So then I became a bricklayer. It's true.
It's quite a swing away from hairdressing.
From the blower to the hod, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, from the broom, it sounds like you only wash one person's hair.
I didn't wash his hair. No.
And were you a quantity surveyor as well?
For a day.
Right.
Because our gaffer told us, he looked at me, he said, take your hands out of your pocket. And I just said, you can stick your job up your ass, mate. It was like, what has that got to do with me doing a good job?
Yeah.
I'll take him out when I've got to hold something.
Yeah. But you might have thought you were fiddling with yourself or something.
I was.
Yeah, well, that might have been the issue.
It was cold.
And so you saw the Sex Pistols and the Clash? Is that what...
76, 77, yeah. And then it became clear what you had to do if you wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
Very little, really.
Was that? I mean, there's lots of people who claim they saw the Pistols live, and many of them didn't. But obviously, there was.
Well, I saw the Pistols and the Clash together.
Right.
I don't know the name of the tour, but it was just a real eye opener, just for me and a few friends, and we formed a band.
Right. And then you were invited into the Specials subsequently to that, or was the Specials?
Well, their original singer he wasn't very good, and so they're looking for another one, and I just happened to be in the band supporting that stage of the Specials, so I just joined. It wasn't like everybody was in every band then. It was messy.
Yeah, but it's a very exciting time.
Yeah, it was.
To be involved in music. It's sort of interesting because, like, so much, and you take the Mickey when I've seen you interviews about a lot of the 80s bands, which I suppose by the time...
Only you two.
Yeah.
The rest are all right.
But there was a lot, but in the 80s, when I was on Celebrity Pointless the first time, there was a question about... I don't want to obsess about it, but there was a question about name a solo artist who was number one in the 1980s. Wish you'd been on the team. You've probably got one. But I've been listening since then. I listened to all those kind of, the 80s radio show, and there's a lot of really, really embarrassingly bad music in the
80s. Yeah,
which do you think was the most embarrassing band?
U2.
But even U2, I mean, there's some. There's just music that's just terrible.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. So... But it seems like you would mess around with Madness, so to speak, in that video. And
but we were sort of close. There was like out of that scene was like us, Madness, Dexys, The Beat, UB40, and we all sort of knew each other. We all toured together and stuff.
Yeah. And did you the backstage at Top of the Pops? Did you see anything going on there?
Yeah. Yeah. I once saw Jimmy Savile with a body It's really, really fucking disturbing.
You wish you'd said something at the time. We could have saved a lot.
I did.
Now, I'm obsessed with your 90s work, though.
Yeah.
Which is, and I my favourite album, I was asked by the Daily Express to name my top five albums of all time.
Mm.
And my, certainly, I think the first one I mentioned, and I think possibly my favourite album of all time, is Home by Terry Hall, your solo album, which got to 96 in the album charts.
It did.
Yeah.
It got to 42 in Greece.
Did it?
And in Israel, it got to like, I had four singles in the top 10.
Right. That's Shalom. More like it. I genuinely, I listened to it all again today, and it stands up. It's a fantastic album.
It was not hard to do, but like once I was in a band called The Colour Field, and after that, my head fell off really, and I just wanted to be very sort of home based and small and tiny and make little records.
Yeah,
and that was the start of that.
But they, you know, it's a real. I mean, what I like, the musicians that I like and the music I like it's got to be kind of lyrically good for me. I'm as interested in the words, probably more interested in the words than the music. And the words in that are beautiful. I think "Sense" is one of the best love songs there's ever been. And I know, like the Lightning Seeds did a version of that you were also involved in, and it was written with Ian Brody, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But their version did better than your version.
Yeah.
Your version's better than their version. Yeah. I listened to
this. Yes, yes.
It's much better. And you're in the video playing the guitar and singing the backing vocals.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Is it annoying to do?
Not really.
Because you didn't know at that stage it was going to do better, probably.
No, it didn't matter really because I had writing credit on both. So, so more the merrier, really.
But, but I think that really. I wrote a play called Playing Hide and Seek with Jesus where I used all your music all the way through as the in between the scenes. And it was all about someone falling in love with someone in head over heels in a ridiculous way with something that was a bit unattainable, which I think was, you know, that sense that is that. The opening line of that, you know, I'm flying high on something beautiful and aimless. It's not a name, but I prefer to call it nameless. I think that sort of really sums up that feeling of falling in love in that way.
Yeah. And, there was a song called Forever Jay on it, which was about my ex-wife. And it took like 17 years to write a song about her. And I finished it. And I thought, well, I've done it. It's great. And then she fucking divorced me. No, serious. It's like, cheers.
You meant to write a song for them at the beginning. That's how you get them to sleep with you in the first place.
Man, no. Can't win.
Well, she should be. How do you feel when you've created something? I mean, I know the answer to this question because I've done this a lot. Where you create something that you think is really good and that it doesn't kind of tap into the public consciousness.
That's okay. It doesn't matter, really. It's never been about selling records for me. It's about, you know, cliche, but the voice. And to be able to express how you feel. And maybe some people will listen, maybe they won't.
Yeah. So is it nice to know that, you know, all that these years listened. On, that one bloke thinks it's the best album in the world?
But it's enough. It's enough. It's like, it's not about numbers, really. And try telling my record company that. But but it really isn't. It's just good to get it off your chest.
Yeah. And you've got this incredible varied career. Is that switching between genres and different collaborations? And sometimes you've fallen out with the band.
Oh, always, always. Yeah, they think I'm a right shit.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? I've worked in two double acts and fallen out with both of those people eventually.
Very.
And that's just two people managing two creative people working together. So if you've got, you know, if you're in a band with three people or 10 people or whatever it is.
Or seven people and you spend 6 months in a bus with them.
Yeah.
And they drink. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
And you were young as well, right? So like with the Specials, you must have, did you finish the Specials? How old were you? You must have been 22 or something. When the Specials, so it's the same age as like when you're at university, you're making friendships, you're falling out of friendships, you know, every single day. So it's, you obviously...
But it was just weird because it's like, I grew up in Coventry, which is about to be the city of culture.
Really, yeah.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
And they've got everything in place, apart from the culture. Bless them. But the route was, you work in a car factory. That was the route. And then At 12, I got abducted. abducted by a paedophile ring in France, and that was a real eye-opener. And I can laugh about it now, but it sort of switched something in my head, and it's like, I don't have to do that. And that's when I started, like, not listening to anyone.
Yeah. Well, that would happen. So that is that part of the reason you left schools early? Because you clearly...
Well, I was sort of drugged up then on Valium for about a year, and I didn't go to school. So.
Right. I didn't realise it was as extreme as that. So it's but you've got that reputation of, you know, if you've been in lots of bands and it falls apart. But do you think that you're difficult to work with, or do you think it's
no? Sometimes it's like I like to test my bands and see how they feel about stuff. And I remember I did a gig in Nottingham. And I got there really early, and I put about 30 American flags above the stage to see what their reaction would be. And they didn't notice, and it's like, I'm not going to be in this band anymore.
What reaction would have let you carry on with
that
band?
Take them down, wire they up, something.
Yeah, but just wanted a reaction.
No.
Fair enough. But you've made up with some of the specials.
All of them, really.
Yeah.
And now we tour again. We've been touring for around 9 years. And
is it easier now? You're older?
It's much better. Yeah. It's because now I don't have to travel with them.
Right.
It's really great. And I see them for about an hour and a half. And then we get off and do our own things.
Yeah.
Which would have been, that's what we should have done first time round.
Yeah, but it's hard, you know. So like,
and we didn't. Yeah.
No, it's hard when you're young, and A, there's no money.
No.
So you've all got to travel together, and you've got to live together. I slept in double beds with Stuart Lee for, you know, bed and breakfast and things.
Yeah.
Not when we were on tour.
No.
Once we slept in it was two single beds, but they were connected by a little pink canopy over the back of on the wall. It's nice.
It happens.
Yeah. I think Kevin Eldon got a room to his own. I don't know how that worked out, but yeah, that's you know, so that I'm sort of fascinated by that dynamic within bands, because there's often like two creative people, and that friction creates great work.
So, it can do, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not very pleasant. That's the problem. So you can stick around for maybe an album or two. And most I've ever done is two albums with a band.
Right.
And it's usually one, really.
Even just on your own.
I did two with myself, and I fucking hated myself. I'm not working with that twat again, that's what I said. That was me.
Yeah. And you've worked with like everyone, really. You've worked with Damon Albarn, Dave Stewart.
That was laugh.
Yeah.
Well, we got together, our publisher said, can you two go off and write a song for the Ramones? And we were like, what? It's like, how does that work? But so we got together. I went to France where he lived, and out of this one song, we did an album together called Vegas, which got to number 12 in the chart. But it was just a good laugh, really. And he's sort of like that, and he's sort of, he's on a different thing to me, really. And he's like, you know, he knocks about with Bob Dylan and, you know, that sort of stuff. But he's nice.
Yeah. Do you still see the 12-year-old Lebanese singer that you work with Mushtaq?
Nope.
And that was, it's quite a, I think I did get this album, but you lost me a little bit on this one.
I did it for 3 months, I think I feel. It's like, the idea was to sort of merge Arab and Israeli music. And, well, that was the blueprint, really. But it's, then I met some Polish gypsies, and I said, do you want to play on our record? And they said yes, so they came along. And it was like, and honestly, it's about 200 people came. It was like a caravan thing, and it's so we wrote out the chords to this song that we wanted to play. It was like B, whatever it was, and you start after four, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and they started playing all this shit, and it's like not that one, play our song. And they never did. But the funny, we did one gig, and the four women who did vocals on that album, they were great. But when we came to the gig at soundcheck, there were four different women. It was like, honestly, the cousins or sisters or something, and they hadn't got a clue what they were doing at the gig. We did one gig.
Did it solve the Arab and Jewish
yes,
conflict?
There's peace then.
Yeah,
now.
There is. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So, my friend Paul Putner, who played the Curious Orange in some of Richard and Judy, remembers Funboy 3, I think, appearing on the Tube.
Yeah.
And you sang The End by the Doors.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about that performance that was unusual?
Was it the Tube or the Switch where we're trying to make a statement, an anti-American statement, and so we had an American flag and Neville set fire to it, but the lighter fuel went all over his legs, so he went up with the flag and it shut down. It was live, it shut down.
Right.
But 2 weeks later, we were about to start an American tour, so we had to apologise to America. And I was so wound up having to apologise that the first night in San Francisco, I unveiled an American flag and said, "You can stick this up your ass." And we didn't last too long.
You do sort of speak your mind and blurt out.
I know.
It's good. I mean, it's artistically fantastic.
I know.
It must be annoying to have to come home from America.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yeah. It was good fun. It was good fun.
Was Neville all right after he set himself on fire?
Yeah, he lost his hair on his legs.
Okay. Did it ever grow back?
It was quite nice. And then he sort of moisturised. It was a good look. Dead legs.
And so, do you ever get confused with the ventriloquist Terry Hall?
Yes. Once with the Inland Revenue, where... No, this is not a joke. This is really depressing. Where they claimed I'd done a summer season in Blackpool and that I'd hid the income. And it was like, it's not me. Because I was in Coventry and he was based in Nuneaton, which is close.
Yeah.
Same sort of tax thing. And, yeah, there was that. And through school, it's like, have you stuck your hand up a lion's ass? Yeah. It was all that stuff. It was like, yes.
Have you ever thought of getting into ventriloquism? Because, you know, there's a...
I could try.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. He's dead now, Terry Hall, so you could
he
take
is.
Over.
He
from
is.
Him. He's...
Thank God. Bless him.
Are you ever mistaken for Terry and Landa Halls, a tower on a campus at the University of Washington?
No.
No. Does it annoy you that you'll never get a hall named after you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It is.
It actually doesn't. No.
Yeah,
raised it.
I mean, they could call it the Terry Hall, but then it would be like someone. I mean, that could
the
be any Terry.
The Terry Hall Hall.
If it's the Terry Hall Hall, then no one's going to do that, are they?
Well, you never know.
Can we rename this? I mean, it's not really a hall, and this is going to be called Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre anyway. So I've got this. When I die, which might be quite soon, shall I ask you? I've got more, many more things to talk to you about. But I'm going to ask you some a random emergency question. We had some fun backstage. Let's see, which actually, I've got one. What is the worst thing you've ever eaten for a bet?
I think a 12-inch hot dog when I was about 10.
Okay. That doesn't sound that bad.
It was horrible.
Okay. I tried to eat a pack of butter at a party and when I was...
Oh, no, I never did that sort of stuff.
Big
like
pack of butter.
Eating...
No, I've never done that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
All right, how about this? If you had a finger that could cure rectal cancer, but only if you pushed it hard up the anus of the cancer sufferer. Backstage, I was saying I was going to be very respectful because it was terrible. Would you cure anyone, everyone, or be like Jesus and just cure a few people?
Would it have to go up Bono's ass?
Well, if he's got it, you can choose who you choose. You could possibly give them rectal cancer.
I'd cure everyone.
Everyone?
Yes. Yeah, of everything.
So you're better than Jesus?
Sort of.
Yeah. One more, let's see. Let's try this, Terry. If you only had a week to live, who would you tell to go fuck themselves? I have a feeling you'd do it anyway.
Yeah. I'd do it anyway. It's like, it give me a day, a year.
Yeah.
But you have to, really, don't you? It's like...
Is there anyone you... like? So you've had these falling outs with people. Is there anyone that you have... can't forgive, that you still feel bad towards, or does time heal?
Not really. No. It's like I fell out with Jerry from the Specials, yeah. And we had this weird relationship, and I'm cool with it now, but sometimes he isn't, and that disturbs me a bit.
Yeah.
It was like, move on a bit.
Yeah, it's difficult, though. It is difficult to move on. I know, but, you know, I really understand it, and, like, again, the two of you... you know, creating great stuff together. I mean, he wrote Ghost Town and you performed Ghost Town. And I think it wouldn't have
which
worked.
Which was great. Yeah. Which was brilliant. But, so praise that, really. Do you know what I mean? It's
So Lennon and McCartney had the same thing.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And you sort of need those two personalities. I think really create something. If it's a collaboration to create something that good, you need to sort of hate each other and love each other a little bit.
Yeah, but there's a time when the hate should stop, really, because it gets a bit dull. Yeah. Hatred is dull.
Yeah, and so you think personally you've overcome those for you? You overcome that?
I find it quite easy to forgive and forget. It's like, you know, going back to my abduction, it's like you can let that eat away at you, but then you think, well, you know, it's paedophilia, and it's like, it's part of life, really. It's unfortunate that it happened to me.
Yeah.
But you can't just let it destroy your life. It's not good.
But how do you even begin to overcome something like that? I mean, it must be hard.
Valium.
Yeah.
And then I fancied David Essex, which was a bit wonky, but it's like, so I connected the two.
Yeah.
But then I've started discovering girls, and I just need to forget about it. It's too short.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's very upsetting, Terry. I'm very upset.
Oh, no, you shouldn't be upset. It's like, I find it rewarding. Sorry.
But, you know, is it, I mean, because people say that about comedians, that, you know, you need to suffer to be a great comedian. Do you need to have had something that's that bad to kind of unlock that?
It helps.
Yeah.
It helps. I mean, I suffer from manic depression, and I avoided all sort of medication for a long time. Until 10 years ago, I started taking lithium and stuff, and I'm still on these drugs. And it sort of helps. I saw a documentary with Stephen Fry, and I really like him, but there was elements of that where you've got to sort of bleed to create, and that's horrible, though. If you've ever been in that position where you sort of bled, I'd rather not create. Do you know what I mean?
No, of course.
It's a balance is quite good.
Yeah. But, you know, you're very clearly very intelligent person, and it sort of feels like that's led to at least you leaving education earlier than you might have done. I mean, it led to something incredible in terms of getting into these bands.
But it is like that journey, and I find it fascinating how outside elements affect you. And it's like me, and it's like at 14, because I didn't really go to school much, they let me work as a potato rumbler, which was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And it's the only one that I didn't walk out on.
Right.
So you had to get... There was a big rumbling bowl, and you had to put, like, a whole sack full of potatoes in, and they rumbled. And so the skin came off the potatoes.
Oh, really?
It was like, how did that happen? And then they went down a chute, and there were 10 women at the bottom chipping them.
Did you work in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory?
No. This was Coventry Market. Okay. Yeah.
And do you go back to Coventry much?
No. But the, I don't think I'm welcome. When I left, there's a thing on at the front of the local paper that said, Terry the Traitor. It's because I left. It's like I decided to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's all a bit weird. It's all a bit... Coventry's a bit... I don't know. I've got a good Coventry joke.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Ask me how I am.
How are you?
Don't ask. Sorry.
But there's a lot of those places in the Midlands, and a lot of them have. I haven't been actually into Coventry for a while because the gigs I do are at the Warwick Arts Centre, which is sort of on the main theatre, sort of outside of Coventry.
Yeah.
I remember going to Coventry when I was a nipper and seeing that amazing statue of Jesus in the new cathedral.
With the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being terrified.
Well, that's the culture. That's,
yeah.
There you go.
But it was a city that got bombed in the war very
heavily.
Yeah. So it's had to fight back against a lot.
Yeah, but there's a lot of infighting, which is a bit weird.
It's sort of weird, I think, when you do get... Some towns are so proud of themselves, some cities are so proud of themselves that idea of someone just choosing not to live
there, it's bizarre,
is a traitorous act.
Yeah.
Whereas you can...
Yeah.
And I guess if you're being pushed away in that way, then it's hard to have affection.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really like it now. I never go back, but I do like it a lot. It's a great place.
It gave you all that amazing music and all that amazing experience.
Yeah.
I won't go on about Ghost Town, but does that feel still... Craig, our cameraman, was asking whether that still feels like a relevant song today or whether it's ever not been a relevant song.
Well, it is. I mean, that was sort of more about, I think, Glasgow and Liverpool at the time when we were touring around.
Yeah.
But every city felt like that.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. But it's still there. Most cities are still there.
But a lot of places are, it's hard to know, especially in the current political climate, right, how things are going to go. But it feels like there's some regeneration. It feels like...
Yeah, but you tart up a square mile, really. And that's lively and, you've got nacho bars and all that shit. But outside that square mile, it's not so good.
I had a burrito today.
Yeah. Nacho bar. I don't know what that is. But, nacho bars and...
Apparently they're all
cafes.
Open now. It's a new thing. Cafes. Bloody cafes.
Yeah. Too many.
And you wrote about the Coventry Locarno and...
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. That was the first time I met Pete Waterman.
Right.
Because he's from Coventry too.
Yeah.
And he used to be the DJ there. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. He was great. And then he tried to manage us because he was like the local music thing. And he said that I'd make a good singer, but he suggested that I wear a black polo neck with a chain to draw attention to that. I don't know why. And then he said, all we need then is to stick a rocket up your ass. That was his...
Yeah, I'd like to have seen you produce.
He's great, Pete. He's great.
That could have been a different career. Different way through. I think you could play Lee Mack's brother in a sitcom. Anyone who's ever seen it.
He does a sitcom.
He does, but you could be his brother. Shall I suggest it to him?
If you want to.
Yeah. He could be his brother. He's come.
What are the hours?
I'm mad. I mean, he works pretty hard, actually. He was on Doctor Who the other day, Lee Mack.
Yeah.
I mean, a long time ago, people who were listening at home. What do you think about International Men's Day? Do you celebrate International Men's
Day? What date is that?
It's November the 19th.
What day is it today?
November the 19th.
It's great.
It's good, isn't it? We're having a good time.
Yeah.
I deliberately had no women on this week, so...
Because of that?
Yeah.
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 It's worked.
It's worked.
We're all men.
I've had the most manly men that I could get, that I could find. You, me, Adam Buxton and Midley next week, but somehow...
But that's like a really camp trio. It's like...
Do you think the three of us could be... We could be the new Funboy Three?
No.
No.
No. But your hair does look good.
Thank you.
No, it does. It does.
The hair's still there.
I've still got this shampoo thing going on. Do you fancy it washed afterwards?
There's a bit of nicotine in here. I love a haircut. We discussed earlier in the series that I spent £60 on a haircut and everyone thought I was insane. So if you want, I'll give you 50.
I'll take 40.
Okay. Have you got your scissors with you?
Yeah.
Could you do a good haircut if you were... I mean, you didn't really do any haircuts. I'll still take a chance. It'll be a talking point.
Maybe it's like, what, it's Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I'd like the same hair as you, that you and Steve Marshall in my school had, from Funboy 3. I'd like that hairstyle, please.
But that was sort of, yeah, there was an old Irish barber who used to say, can I have this really short and leave the top? And he used to do it really short and he said, what about the top? I said, no, you leave the top. What do you mean, leave the top? It was... An old Irishman.
Confused by your young ways.
Yeah.
is it a weird thing that, I mean, now, like, that, you know, men in their 50s are still, like, have that, you know, that connection to you, that it's such a, I don't know, isn't it? When those first bands you get into, as you know, with the Pistols and the Clash and everything, those first bands you get into are so important and, you're watching Top of the Pops and you're seeing this stuff, you know. And I remember kind of what I was trying to get at earlier was just that, like, oh, we love the Specials. And then, whoa, what's Funboy 3? What's going on? It's all different, you know. Yeah. And it's a talking point at school.
Yeah.
And then it's still in these people's hearts. Well, 34 years later. Well,
that happens at our gigs. It's like, you know, you get sort of 50-year-old men coming up, but they're usually drunk, really drunk.
Yeah.
And they slobber all over you, which is a bit weird. But... Yeah, but it's nice. It's nice.
And they've stayed very true to you, have these guys?
Yeah, still, which is lovely, really.
You're touring again. You're touring, in fact, in 2019. Well, this is a massive tour by this time.
It's a 40th anniversary, 40 years since we released our first album. So we just made a record to release as well next year. And, yeah, we're touring again.
So, yeah. And do you think... I tried to look and see if you could buy Home on iTunes. And I don't think you can. I was going to suggest that everyone go out and buy it, and we try. How many albums would you have to sell on iTunes to get to number one in the album chart?
Honestly, no idea.
Because I reckon if everyone who listens to this went out the week this went out and bought Home, and it's really good. I mean, you can just get it on the internet for free now. That's the problem.
Well, eBay Israel, you can get it on.
Yeah, eBay Israel. It's such a good album. I'm so angry. Angry that I can't connect with anyone else.
No.
My girlfriend at the time, I gave her a copy.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we've got... I could give her a ring. My wife probably wouldn't be very happy with
that. No. Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Oh. we'll go back to emergency questions while I... recruit. This beer is very strong.
Yes.
And I know you've stopped drinking, Terry. This one's called Cervish, I think, or Cervix.
Cervix.
I can't see. You can. It's dry hopped wit beer. Oh, this is the lime and coriander one. So it's nice, actually. You can get your own 8 free craft beers at... See, the problem with it is I can't remember. I'm too drunk to remember where you can get them. The address will come up. beer52.com/Rahelastapa. There you go. What was the decision to give up drinking? Why did it? What tipped you over into?
Because I went nuts, and my psychiatrist said you've got to stop doing that. I was telling you earlier about I used to climb statues.
Yes.
But I don't know. Some people get aggressive or partyish. But I used to, I got picked up by the police outside Hamley's because I saw a teddy bear in the window. It's a 6-foot teddy bear with a tartan dicky bow. And I thought, he's my future. No, seriously, I was that pissed. And it's like, I was banging on Hamley's door. It was like 3 a.m. And sometimes you just got to say, stop, really. Yeah.
And has that been easy to stop? Like, yeah. I keep on thinking I should stop, but, you know, then beer companies sponsor my podcast. What can I do?
Well, I can't really drink or anything because of my medication, so it's like, it's pretty easy, really.
Fair enough. And we're talking about a bit about stage, about, you know, with a few comedians in their 50s we've lost due to drink, and obviously a lot of musicians don't make it beyond that kind of age. Is it sort of worth that, do you think? Is it worth the hedonistic days of youth, if that's the
I think so. I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God.
But not for me.
But you're glad, you know, it must have been when you're touring as young men in a bus together. Must be some tensions you want to get out.
What do you mean? What kind of tension?
You might get a ventriloquist doll and masturbate your someone you work with. That's the kind of thing that might happen, I imagine. Let me go for another mercy question. No, that's too stupid. Do you have a celebrity shag list? Or did you ever have one of 5 celebrities you'd be allowed to have sex with outside of your relationship because they're on a laminated piece of card? If they want to have sex with you.
Do they have to be alive?
No.
Cool. David Cassidy.
Yeah.
David Essex.
He is alive, right, David? It's a shame about Cassidy. Essex is...
That was sad. Was sad.
Essex. Did you ever meet David Cassidy? It's not really your era, is it?
I went to a gig at Wembley. He was playing, but it was with the Bay City Rollers. But I just wanted to see him, really. And I saw his wife.
Yeah.
David Cassidy's wife. And it's like, I don't know, I just had bad thoughts, really. Just wanted to... push her down the stairs.
Yeah, well, she must have got that a lot.
That's bad, right?
Yeah, well...
I wanted to kill her to get to him.
Yeah.
But...
Cassidy Essex, anyone not called David? I mean, it's fine.
Mitch Hedberg.
The comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a glow. And I need a woman on Men's Day.
It's surprisingly male-dominated. I didn't know. I'm fine with that, but I thought there might be...
Anne Bancroft? Yeah.
As Mrs. Robinson, or just at any point?
Any point, really.
Yeah, fair enough. Mel Brooks still going?
He is.
Yeah.
Cool.
We talked about him the other week. It's kind of weird combination, Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft.
Yeah, it's not right.
No.
It should be me and Anne Bancroft.
It should be you and Anne Bancroft and David Cassidy.
Yeah.
My sister was obsessed with Les McEwen from Bay City Rollers.
Yeah.
And he still tours.
As
Les himself, I think.
Yeah. McEwen's Bay City.
Oh, is it that one?
I think so.
She goes to see him.
No.
Yeah. It's, you know, you can't talk. You're still touring. My sister had loved you. You're very sexy in those, especially Fun Boy 3. I think it's just the memory back to those.
It's a memory. It's nothing more than a memory, trust me.
But you're very, very, I mean, you still are, but you're a very handsome young man. If International Men's Day means one thing, it means men can declare their homoerotic feelings that other men, especially their pop stars.
But that's after half a bottle.
Yeah.
You've got another 4.
This is strong stuff. This is strong. I've got to drink all of these.
I'm out of here by the time you get to the 5th.
You're not drinking, so I've got to take all of those down now.
No way.
It's fucking disgusting. Have they paid us yet? this is why I should never do sponsorship, because I'll always... And the same as you, I'll always just mess it up at the last minute.
Actually, we had a song with Banana Ram called It Ain't What You Do, It's The Way You Do
It. It's a great song.
And we got approached by KFC to do a version. It Ain't What You Chew, It's The Way You Chew It. And we did it.
Well, that's not a very good advert for Kentucky Fried Chicken. It doesn't matter what you chew, as long as you chew it in the right way.
It's true. I haven't thought about it.
Then it'll be the disgusting taste of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
See, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I became vegetarian when I was 18 or 19, and that was one of the things I really missed. And then I've stopped being vegetarian and I had some Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's not very nice.
It's not nice.
No, it's not nice. It's not the way you chew, it's the way you chew it. That's the problem with it. But I remember my dad in a Western Supermarket. I went to Western Supermarket with my mates to the cinema, and my dad came and picked us up, and he bought a big bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken for us all.
Mm.
I remember thinking, that's amazing. You know, imagine having so much money, you can just buy
a bucket
of Kentucky Fried Chicken and to use that in that generous way to spend.
That's great.
And I've always admired my dad since that day. He did that. I thought, one day I'm going to buy a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Could do it now, couldn't I? Probably. Could probably afford it now. Let me see what else I've got here for you, Terry Hall.
This is going to be my finger again.
Terry Hall from this one. I'm sorry I asked you about the rectal cancer. It was.
Yeah, but
was
backstage you asked me about what hole would I plug up.
Yeah.
It's like.
That's a perfectly innocent question.
Man.
You chose your ear, which is correct. What did you buy with your... I mean, if you ever got a first week's wages, because it doesn't sound like you worked for it. What did you buy with your first week's wages from the hair salon, I'm guessing? Or maybe the potato machine?
Do you know what it was? It was... because I'd met a girl, I was 15, and that was from... I would have been the building. And I got £16, and I bought her an engagement ring for... it's Argos, it was really good. Get my dad to give me 95 because it's 1695. Right. But I said, can we get engaged? This was about like after a week.
Oh.
And mum told me to fuck off.
Yeah. Oh. So it's, in a way, it's a beautiful story. I bought a Sony Walkman for my. I got £30.
That's nice.
Just, you know, for tapes, cassette tapes. Do you remember cassette tapes?
I do, yeah.
You would do, but you probably. Probably got some of your albums on it. What do you think would be the worst flavour for a flavoured condom?
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Pretty good answer. Pretty good answer. Have you ever slept overnight to be first in a queue?
No.
What do you think?
Well, to collect something or to have something.
Well, like people get in tents to get like Harry Potter or tickets something.
No.
You never done anything like that?
No.
Didn't have to do it to get the Sex Pistols tickets, did it? How many people were at that Sex Pistols gig that you went to in the Clash?
50.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone in Coventry remembers being there, I'm sure. So I'll go on to some more people you've worked with. And how and what they were like. Lily Allen, how was Lily Allen to work with? Did you do the Glastonbury with her, or did you do anything more than Glastonbury with her?
I think it was just Glastonbury. Yeah.
I mean, not that, come on.
She was nice.
Yeah.
A bit. She was nice.
Yeah.
She
was nice. Nicer or less nice than Sinead O'Connor?
A different sort of nice.
And, so, do you think if your version of Sense had taken off more than the Lightning Seeds one, that you would have done the Three Lions song with Newman with Skinner and Badil?
No.
You like football, though.
I love football. It's the thing that keeps me going, really. But I actually did a guide vocal on Three Lions for Ian.
Oh, did he?
So Frank and David could sort of. Do it in tune and stuff like that, but I took myself off it before.
Yeah,
got released.
Did you have any input to that song at all?
Just that.
So you can't claim.
I was very supportive.
Yeah, we heard that because we share management with Skinner and Badil.
Yeah,
well, me and Stuart did, and I do still do. And we heard that before anyone. And Stuart's comment was, "It sounds like the fucking Wombles."
Yeah. It's not nice, is it?
That's not a nice thing to say.
No.
But history has proven him to be a fool, my friend.
There you go.
Not just in that way, but in many other ways as well. How are you finding growing older as a pop musician?
It's really great.
Yeah?
It's really brilliant.
How long can you keep going?
Well, until I collapse, really.
Yeah.
And it's really brilliant. And the older I get, the more I enjoy it. It's like, because you go through all that stuff about record labels and people saying this and that, And that once that's all gone, you don't really care, and it's good fun.
Yeah, and this new specials album is new music.
It's new stuff, yeah.
Yeah, which is quite exciting because you have tended to just since you reformed, you've been giving people what they want, which is the standards.
Which is me.
Yeah. But it's, you know, we were discussing this a little bit backstage, but it's the curse of being a musician as opposed to a comedian is that, you know, people want to hear your favourite stuff, the best stuff. And as a comedian, you're not allowed, you've got great stuff, and you're not allowed to do it again because people don't want to hear it. Let this lot lap it up before the show. my stuff's so, intricated? No.
It's definitely.
Fuck, I'm so drunk. I'm drunk on the happiness of meeting Terry Hall for the second time in my life. What's the process of writing the new specials stuff?
Well, we had an ongoing court case for about 10 years, so we didn't do it, and then we sort of held it up. But we just now write about how we feel, and when we were kids, we wrote about unemployment and, you know, whatever we were going through, really. And now we're doing the same, but now it tends to be about us as sort of older men.
It's sort of the specials. It sort of was growing up music, even when you were kids, though, I think. Don't you think it was? I guess what I'm getting at with the 80s is there was a lot of sort of, you know, fluffy, new romantic nonsense with, you know.
Yeah, and it's like when you revisit it, BBC Four has like 80s and all that stuff, and it's good fun to watch. It's really funny, and I saw a Duran Duran documentary. That was really funny, and but it really was funny. But and it's fluffy.
Well, I saw you talk about Howard Jones in another interview, and you know, like when you think about what these people were doing, Howard Jones had the guy had Jed was it or Ben? No, not Ben.
It was Jed.
Jed,
because I was on a Oxford Roadshow when he was launched. Not Jed, but Howard Jones. But there was all this stuff like 2 months before, like teasers. Who is Howard Jones? Who is Howard Jones? And then he did his first performance, and his amp broke. And I just thought I was really sort of like, that's Howard Jones.
Yeah. But it was sort of six, you know, a lot of Nick Kershaw. I mean, there's still a lot of some of his stand up, but it's very sort of six for me, like Human Chains. That's Howard Jones, isn't it? That's what he was, wasn't it? Jed was in Human Chains. He was in chains.
Which is dead weird when you think about it. It's like, what's he doing there? But I felt that when Lou Reed had that martial arts, like Lou Reed was singing Perfect Day with his bloke going like that. So what's he doing there? But that's Jed. And, I still can't get over Marty Pello from
it's hard.
Where he still bugs me now. He still bugs me.
And Shaking Stevens was the highest selling artist of the 1980s.
I think he kept us off the top spot a few times.
Did he? Yeah.
Shaky, yeah.
You know, and if I'd remembered him in that pointless 0 points, he had a pointless answer, Shaking Stevens. So more, that's the terrible thing about show business, isn't it? So in a way, would you rather be Shaking Stevens, which you'd think anyone would be, or Terry Hall? And you'd probably choose Terry Hall out of those two, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
No, it's a difficult choice, actually.
It really is.
It's a hard choice to give you between those two. And are you engaging with new music? Do you listen to new music? Because I don't know anyone is now.
I try.
Yeah.
And on the internet, I quite like YouTube, where you can look at things.
Yeah, I've heard.
And like new music.
Yeah.
But I do tend to watch a lot of stand-up. That's why I was curious about this. I like stand-up. I prefer stand-up to music at the moment.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you think you might become a stand-up?
No. But
you're very funny. I mean, like, you've got this reputation of not being being a little dour, maybe, or not smiling. But you're very witty and funny.
Everyone's wrong.
Yeah, they are wrong. But you've been very funny tonight. But also, your songs are witty, and even the serious songs, there's wit in there. And I think the poetry of it is so beautiful. The lyrics are so great in your music, but they're musically sophisticated as well, you know. It's
yeah.
I just sort of think There's a point, you know, there's lots of music. I mean, I suppose you see it with comedians, and we were talking about some comedians backstage, and there's lots of comedians think, why did they never become, like, the biggest star ever? And I feel that with a certain... I think even about Ray Davies, I sort of think he should be the prime songwriter of his generation, and he's obviously up there, but people don't really realise how great he was, I think.
But I think you tend to take a little bit of a back seat along the way, and it's like when somebody says, would you like to come to the Brits? That's your avenue to that, but not really. Do you know what I mean? Why would I want to go to the Brits?
But that's true. But, you know, but that's why, you know, that you're still here, and it's this, that you've got this body of work, and that's why you're not Shaking Stevens, I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to let you know.
The album I did after home, the MD of the label paid me the biggest compliment ever. He said, when you release a record, you commit commercial suicide. And I just thought, fucking great.
Yeah.
My job's done.
But it should be, you know, if you manage to find that thing that does resonate with everyone, then that's great.
Yeah.
But also, it shouldn't, you know, music, comedy, those things should be personal. And that's why they do, that's why that musical connection is there. That's why people keep coming to see you, and why some people keep coming to see me.
Yeah.
Because they've got that connection back to you, and you've touched them with something, with some art.
Yeah. Yeah.
As being serious, why do you have to? So you're so childish. I don't know why you're interested in my work. I'm trying to impress Terry Horner Sharp.
It's working.
It's working. But it's great. Everyone should go and buy Home by Terry Hall and nothing else in the week this comes out.
Good luck.
If you see anyone else buying an album, punch them in the face. Let's get Home, which is not commercially available.
Anywhere.
It could be by the time we put this out. I could get on to your record company. Tell them to put it out. It's like, you just put it out on iTunes. It doesn't cost anything, does it?
No, but it's like, iTunes, internet. It's like, do we have to?
That's how they do it now. That's how it's all done.
Do we have to?
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for all the pleasure you've brought to me in my life. And thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It means an awful lot to me. I've had a couple of my heroes on this series. And so it's fantastic to have you come on.
It's been lovely.
And you're a fantastic man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Terry Hall.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's That's the Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Terry Hall. The music is by Pest. And also, I would like to thank the British Comedy Guide people, the Leicester Square Theatre people, and the GoFasterStripe.com people. They're all very lovely. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm particularly indebted to my executive producer, Mark Thompson. Not that one, he says. I mean, I don't know if he thinks people know who Mark Thompson is. He's on TV, isn't he? I hope it's not that one. He won't give me any work. Anyway, it's a Sky Potato Buzz and GoFasterStripe production.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.